Get out your lawn chairs and find your spot on the parade route, baby. Two wins in California. Two wins against California, I should say. And the first win, and I'll say this and then I'll say my caveat, Pete. The first win in the Rose Bowl since 1962.
It's only right? 62 years.
Probably a stat that we love to talk about, but I'm listening to this last night and I'm going, oh, first win since 1962. Well, that's because they haven't made the Rose Bowl.
Right.
Okay, so let's not make this, and I don't want to start negative, but let's not make this, you know, oh, what an amazing win at the Rose Bowl. No, this is not the Rose Bowl. It's at the Rose Bowl. Nonetheless, Pete, I am sold and ready to crown Max Brosmer as the greatest Gopher quarterback of all time after the past few games. I loved it. I texted you last night, right as we're going to that final drive. I said, it's hero time. Mm-hmm. Hero time for Mad Max. Can he do it? And he did it. He did it.
He did.
He leads him down the field and puts a beautiful pass to Daniel Jackson, which it sounds like was his last option listening to P.J. Fleck. But he was so patient in the pocket, and he waited and waited, and he found him. And as last option, I'm just – Brosmer's it, man. He's got that it factor, and he's getting better every game. Obviously, I'm going to take out the first half because the first half was not great for anybody. But no. Second half was it, and he made it happen.
He did. He looked fantastic. I don't know where we put him on the pantheon of quarterbacks or whatever, but I will say this. I totally agree with you, Dave. When it comes to what he was able to accomplish and how he has played over the last couple of weeks against the Southern California teams, USC here, obviously UCLA back out there at the Rose Bowl, but he had three rushing touchdowns against USC. Didn't have a great game throwing the football, but he was very solid, and I said not a great game. He was 79% completion, but he didn't get a lot of yards, but we did everything we needed to do to be able to seal the deal and beat USC in our own home, which is fantastic, you know, over at the bank. That's great. Against UCLA, he's 70%. He's got two touchdowns, and the guy is learning enough to not have the interceptions, and I think that's the key. I mean, if you look on the other side of the ball last night, Garbers looked great, except for the fact that he threw really two interceptions. The last one was just a Hail Mary, but right. So he ends up with three interceptions. But, you know, that's what kills you. You can't turn the ball over, and Max was turning the ball over a little bit, you know, earlier in the year, but he's gotten a little bit better, a little bit better. I love the first play of the game. First play of the game, we threw to the tight end going on the seam, and he had it in his hands. He just didn't execute right, and we dropped the football. But the good news was PJ was willing to go back to that play or to at least throw the ball to the tight ends throughout the rest of the game. And I know I harp on this all the time, but they're open. And as long as they can hold on to the ball, Dave, that's going to be something that's going to be very, very good for us. And I think Jameson Gears is a heck of a tight end. I think Bierman is a tight end that we'd like to see. We have tight ends at the University of Minnesota that are big, strong, fast, and athletic. And that opens it up for who else? Daniel Jackson.
That's right.
That's why I think Daniel Jackson had an amazing game yesterday. And all those passes that were thrown to him, they were legitimate passes for sure, but they were difficult. I mean, I think the announcers did a great job yesterday of talking about how much he had to use his body to do this and to do that and to make those catches. Daniel Jackson had an unbelievable game. Darius Taylor did not. They completely stuffed our running game. They had the big boys up front, and they were coming after us in the first half. But the second half, I think we played a little bit of a different game. We kind of gave up a little bit on the run because we weren't getting anywhere, and that gave us the opportunity. For some reason, UCLA just went away from what was working for them in the first half, which was they were outnumbering us. They were bringing six against our five. And for whatever reason, they cooled that back, and by doing so, it gave our offense an opportunity. We scored 21 points, the game-winning 21 points in the second half.
But you and you said this just now, and I want to go back and kind of underline that point. The run wasn't working, so they changed from it. How many times, Pete, have you and I sat here on these airwaves and say, why didn't they adjust? Why didn't they change? They keep trying to pound it, but they change it. And you go back and you got a guy like Brosmer who went 26 of 37 with two touchdowns and 193 yards. He basically outplayed Ethan Garbers.
Yeah.
Garbers may have had more yardage, but he had three interceptions. He got sacked three times. Brosmer's confidence in the pocket, I think, is something we haven't seen in a really, really long time. And we also, he has the it factor, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he's led six touchdown drives this season. He completed 25 of 35 passes, 251 yards and two touchdowns, and rushing for two touchdowns on those. This is the fourth quarter in the past three games. So that's his stat line in the fourth quarter. Six touchdown drives.
Yeah.
25 of 35. The kid has it. I thought both defenses played very well for the most part, including the Gophers. The UCLA rushed for a total of, 30-some-odd yards?
36 yards on 26 carries. That's terrible.
It wasn't much.
Yeah. You know,
so it was really, I mean, I hate to use the word boring, but it was kind of back and forth boring for the first. You know, they're just it's just defense versus defense. But so now you look back at this, and I said this to my wife last night because she's like, "Oh, the Gophers are okay. They're 4-3." I said, "Well, yeah, they're 4-3, but they're really not 4-3 because they should probably." And I do this every week. They should probably actually be 5-2, and then if the officials maybe make a better call, they could very easily be 6-1. Mm-hmm. I don't like doing this, but in a season where inches truly mattered, this team is better than a 4-3 record in my mind, Pete.
I totally agree with you, Dave. You go back to the North Carolina game, that was a locked game. We had it. We had the right kicker, yep. Right? I mean, that guy's his strength. But unfortunately, for whatever reason this year, he's just not the same guy. And I can't quite figure out why that is. But so that game is behind us. But also, as you pointed out, the Michigan game. Yeah. We go to Michigan. We get that onside kick. We get this strange flag that gets dropped. And I, to this day, don't understand why they didn't just pick it up. Because everybody from going to the New York studios or wherever they wanted to go to check out.
They said it was a bad call.
It was a bad call.
Yeah.
And so they stole something from us, which is unfortunate. But, you know, it is what it is.
It is what it is. You move forward.
But it does show you that the Golden Gophers this year are that team, to your point. I'll even just give it. What if it's 5-2 is our record?
Yeah,
instead of the 4-3, I think that's a pretty daggone good record. And when I look in front of us now, Dave, my early prediction was probably more games than I think you were thinking. But I said I thought we could win 8 games. Mm-hmm. Well, when we look ahead a little bit right now, and you've got Maryland in front of us, that's one of them. First of all, we have a bye coming, but we've got Maryland who. The wheels have just coming off that program.
Yeah,
I don't know what's wrong.
Rough,
they look rough. They just do. And you know, maybe it's because they're finally playing real opponents, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's part of this with a lot of these different teams. But Illinois has a great offense. They don't have any defense at all, but they do have an incredible offense. Rutgers, I think with Kalyuk Manis, we can almost count on getting a couple of interceptions. That's not a knock on him.
They better.
But you look at, you know, where did they get beat up a little bit? Well, they got beat up really bad by Wisconsin, but also they went out to Nebraska. Nebraska is a better team than I don't think anybody has any idea of. By the way, Rutgers gave up 550 yards to Wisconsin. And I'll tell you another team, Dave, that I think we have a legitimate shot, and it's not just pie in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
Penn State's 6-0. But they don't look like a 6-0 football team to me.
Hmm.
They kind of meander around. They end up winning games, but they're throwing the ball. They're not running the ball. They're doing a lot of things differently than Penn State does in the past. But I don't think that they're as well. A good example would be just watching some of the teams that have had 5-0 records or 6-0 records that have then fallen. And I think it's because they're actually retreating to who they really are. And I don't think Penn State's going to be able to go through this season undefeated. I think that's a shot
for
the Gophers.
Also, they almost gave that game away to Lincoln Riley yesterday.
Yeah.
That way we were watching in the studio, Jonathan and I were, and between that, we had one screen. Get this, we had that game, and then on the right screen, we had Illinois and Purdue.
Which was a ball
game. Both were literally identical where they were at the game. And both ended up almost slipping the other way. Mm-hmm. So, Penn State, there's some, I hate using the term fraudulent, but there's some fraudulent play to their game, I think.
Well, look, let's take a quick break because it's 10:17, but I'd love to hear everyone's comments on this. So are you buying in on the Gophers at this point? 651-461-9226. It's the stylesfinancial.com talking text line. I still want to talk about Coy Parrish.
Yes.
Because it was another phenomenal game for him, Pete. And I'm curious, since we're on this, let's just go with it. I'm starting to get a little annoyed with some of the officiating, not just in the Big Ten, but around the league. And this minute, let's break down every single thing, and they're still getting it wrong. Mm-hmm. A couple of targeting calls yesterday and a couple of non, which bothered me. So I'm going to go into that next. You are listening to The Huddle, 830-WCCO. Brother, we are getting raked over the coals here on the StylesFinancial.com text line. Wait, I love these. You are what your record indicates you are. Gophers got beat at home versus a team that gave up 70 to James Madison. If they go, I don't know, is that who gave up 70?
North Carolina, I think.
North Carolina did, okay. If they go 7-5 and make another third-tier bowl game, has this program really progressed since 2020?
Boy, they're angry out there, huh?
I say it has.
Yeah.
This team is still better. It's a better, more well-constructed team, I think, than 2020. You know, where they finish if they go 7-5 and make another third-tier bowl game. But if they get to 8 wins, is that possible to get to 8 wins at this point? It is, right?
It's possible. There's 5. So, yeah. There's if you get 4 or 5.
Five left, right?
So
yeah.
I'm stretching it a little bit. But, Dave, I'll tell you this, too. I'm really not understanding the mindset of what we're hearing, because when you look at the Iowa game, it turns out Iowa might actually have an offense. And, you know, when you look at their scoring and the lack of our ability against Iowa, and, you know, we've still yet to be a team that played an entire game. We're either the first half or the second half, and then we go to sleep, or vice versa. We just haven't put that together. I think we will. Our defense absolutely shut down UCLA. Now, is UCLA a great team? No. I said before the game, they are right there with Purdue as maybe the very bottom of the Big Ten as far as what we've seen so far from both of them. UCLA has gotten a little bit better, though. And let's not forget, the quarterback, he does throw too many interceptions. He's a heck of a quarterback, though, Dave. I mean, he really does move the ball around. Yep. He's got some great talent. Their defense, I thought, looked good, but their offensive line, they could not block the defense of the Gophers yesterday, and that was a big key to the victory for the Gophers as well. The Gopher defense stepped up. I mean, they've been getting beat up.
I disagree with that people calling you a homer.
And it's not a homer.
A sunshine pumping Pete.
That's a which, load of
that's
something.
That's just not nice. You stay away. Take it easy on my buddy Pete. I'm doing the same thing. You know, I mean, this is to be spread around. I think this team very easily has 2 more wins under its belt.
Yep.
If you look at it, let's talk about Coy Parrish and how fantastic he's been. And I was reading a couple articles, and a lot of people are saying, you know, this kid made the right choice to come here, which I think is correct,
yep.
Mainly because he's getting way more playing time here and a chance to make plays than he would be elsewhere. I don't know if I agree with that.
This
kid
disagree.
Is incredibly talented. I mean, you look at that interception last week against USC, where he is probably 6 feet off the ground to make that. You know, yesterday was a huge, huge play. He's been unbelievable for the most part on punt return. Even, you know, he refuses to fair catch anything, which I love.
Mm-hmm.
Go for it. I wonder at some point if they're going to throw him in at wide receiver just to mix it up. He's really talented.
He's one of those athletes that can do almost anything, Dave. It's amazing just watching him physically. He's physical enough to be involved in the Big Ten, which is something when you're talking about a freshman. He's got that, and he's got all the athleticism. And that I think that interception last week just showed everybody just how athletic he really is. But, you know, he's a great returner. He's a great guy sitting back in the secondary back there. And I think you're right. If they wanted to, he's got a little bit of that McCaffrey in him where he's so athletic, so fast, so explosive that he could be on the offensive side of the ball as well. So he's a guy that I think a lot of teams are going to be knowing more and more about who he is and where he is and looking for him, because he is an absolute talent, probably one of the most talented guys that I've seen come to the University of Minnesota in I don't even know how many years. He really is special. We're lucky to have him, and hopefully we get to keep him. He doesn't do one of these portal things someday or any of that kind of thing. But,
well, that's a good point, too, because I thought the same thing. And I thought the same thing as I'm watching Brosmer.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, is this kid going to have one good season and go, all right, I'm going to go transfer somewhere else? I don't think that he is.
Well, he's almost an AARP, right? I mean, some of these guys are. I'm looking
he's got 5 kids and a wife.
I mean, I'm looking at Gabriel playing out there at Oregon. The guy's like 25, 26, 27 years old. I mean, he's playing
been around,
6 or
man.
7 years. Yeah.
So do you buy into the theory? First of all, the one thing I heard last night that I loved about Coy Parrish is that he wouldn't come here early in the spring because he wanted to go win a state championship in track and field.
Yeah.
I loved that.
Yeah.
I love that he stayed to play more sports. But if you look at the other schools, so he was – it was Ohio State, Florida State, Michigan, Iowa, Wisconsin, USC, and Washington were all interested in Coy, who eventually goes to the Gophers. If he goes to any of those programs, do you think he plays as much there as he has here? Because – I don't know how I feel. I don't know if he did play more here early because of the fact that there was probably, I don't want to say that promises made, but they said, yeah, you're going to play. Mm-hmm. You have an opportunity to play here immediately. Does he get lost at a Florida State, a Michigan, an Iowa, Wisconsin?
No, that's a pipe dream from people who don't want to give the kid credit for who he is and his athleticism well and everything. Said. And when you see the athleticism and watch the guy, watch him on returns, watch him on some of these, when he went up for the interception against USC, I mean, I think that says it all. It shows you what sort of talent level that he is playing at and what talent that he's got. So I'm not trying to blow smoke or anything. I think if he goes to Ohio State, he plays at Ohio State. Why is it that other freshmen can go to Ohio State and start and he's not in that same category? You know, it's funny. It's that negativity that you sometimes get from fans that are kind of pushing back at what we're saying, which is I'm not saying the Gophers are a top 10 team in the NCAA, but I will tell you, we have the ability going forward if we execute. And I thought, and I spoke to PJ after the game, and I said, look, I thought it was the best coaching that I've seen in the second half of a Gopher team in a long time. They did everything right. They got everything right on the defensive side, the offensive side, to give themselves the opportunity to come back from a 10-0. So I don't know. People can be as angry and think that I'm a homer or whatever. I'm not. I've been proven out many years now, even with you, Dave, and in the past where I've said, well, I think we're a 6-win team. Well, I think we're this. We're that. I said 8 games. It's a stretch. But you look ahead and you look at Maryland. You look at Illinois. Illinois's got a great offense. They got no defense. Rutgers is going to give you the opportunity to win the game. They just will. Penn State, yes, they're very, very good. Maybe that's one that's going to be the loss, probably, if there's a loss. Wisconsin, it's going to be toe-to-toe. It's going to be a fight. They got a great running back that is a little intimidating, but I like our linebackers, and we are playing without one of our starting linebackers, so that defense stepped up despite the fact that they were missing some pieces here and there. So I don't know. I know people get pretty negative about this whole thing, but
of course they do.
Enjoy your Gophers. They play well.
No, because in Minnesota, we can't enjoy our good sports teams. We have to wait until they fail us. That's just kind of the mindset I've learned in the 17 years that I've been here. I do think we'll find out a lot about this team the next couple of weeks, because you're right. The running game. Illinois has got a really good running back, too.
I mean,
that kid, he's legit. A couple texts here to the stylesfinancial.com talking text line, Pete. Fans are often too euphoric after a win. UCLA is 1-5 for a reason. They've played, but I would like to add, they've played some tough teams and have to score very late to beat them. There's nothing to have a parade for. Okay.
I don't think we're having a parade, by the way. We're just saying that the Gophers are playing very good football. Brosmer's played much better the last couple of weeks, which is a big deal. And PJ and the coaching staff actually shifted in the second half and did change the game plan. They went away from the run. They went for the pass. They did the right thing. I thought a lot of really well the play calling was outstanding. So when you put all
the
that together.
The last 2 weeks have been, Pete, because we talked about this with him last week. I actually thought last week was one of the best coached games I'd ever seen PJ Fleck have. And I would say this week, too.
And we got jobbed, let's be honest, in the Michigan game. I'm not going to keep going back there, but if everybody else wants to be so negative about our being positive, okay, well, what about the Michigan game? We outplayed them when we needed to, and we got jobbed at the end of the game. So I don't know. People should get a little bit more excited. I'm not saying we're going to the real Rose Bowl, but it's okay that we're playing well. And when you look at the schedule in front of us, there are opportunities there for us to do well.
It's all your fault, Dave. You started the show saying, let's get the parade started. Yeah, let's be real.
I want everybody to listen to me right now, okay? Everyone who's listening to this right now, I want you to take a deep breath, and I want you to say to yourself, I will love again. It's okay to love again.
Wow, what show is this? What's happened to CCO? What has happened to WCCO radio?
It's okay to love again. It is okay to have a belief in your Gopher football team after some of the wins that they've had. It really is.
Yep.
Okay, we'll take a break. Come back. We won't do any more motivational speaking. Let's do the fast break. 830 WCCO.
What's up, guys?
Cover your plants. Would you please cover your plants, Josh?
Cover your plants and your weeds.
Yes.
Is that what we're supposed to do? I'm not a big Florida guy like Mr. Najarian over here. But
I wish I wasn't. Let's
fair,
be honest.
Fair.
Oh, Peter.
Who wants to live in Florida this time of year? Let's be honest.
Oh, my gosh.
My goodness. So you guys are both big baseball experts.
Huge.
So we're going to start off with baseball. We're on to the AL and NLCS in the MLB postseason, which means we could turn the clock back 24 years to the year 2000 where the Subway Series had taken place, or we could really go
that
back in the time machine.
Such a horrible year.
Where Yankees and the Dodgers had a series of yesteryear. We have the Guardians, we have the Yankees, Dodgers, and Mets. Dave, we'll start with you. Who is your pick to move on to the Fall Classic?
Ooh. I think it's the Mets and the Yankees.
Oh, really? Wow.
I do. I just think both teams are playing pretty well right now. Cleveland just doesn't. I'm not 100% in on them. I think the Dodgers, obviously Ohtani's incredible, but mainly it's going to be Yankees and Mets because I'm going to relive what I believe to be one of the worst falls of my life. In 2000, I grew up in New York. I was going to school in New York. All of my roommates were Yankee fans, and I was the only Met fan for the Subway World Series. And we had a bet, and I lost because I bet on the Mets. They took the Yankees. And I had to wear for, I think it was a week maybe or a couple days, a New York Yankees World Series Championship t-shirt. And it was awful. It was so awful. So I know that it's going to happen again, but I think it'll be Mets-Yankees. And then, I don't know. Although I could totally see the Dodgers pulling. I'm not in on Cleveland.
No.
I could totally see the Dodgers winning that series too.
I'm with you, Dave, on that. I think it is going to be a Subway Series. I think that makes it great, quite honestly. I know you're not getting the entire country, which they'd love to get, of course. Mm-hmm. They'd love to have the Dodgers and Yankees. For baseball, that would be the best thing of all. But I don't see the Guardians getting past the Yankees, although anything can happen. But the Dodgers and Mets, I'll tell you, Stevie Cohen, at the beginning of the year, they started off really slow. And then the Mets really started to kind of click. But they were sort of at the bottom of the pack for a little while, or at least close.
Yeah.
And they made a nice run the rest of the season. But the Dodgers, they have so much talent on that team that I lean to the Dodgers-Yankees.
All right, okay. Pete, I have a list of one last teams that are among the top 25. You have to pick one that doesn't make the cut for the new playoff format that we have coming up.
Goodness.
Oh, I like this question.
Alabama, question. Georgia, Tennessee, Ole Miss, Clemson, Notre Dame, A&M. I'm not going to say Oklahoma. I have it on my list, but they're not going anywhere. Boise State.
For you?
Boise State is the last one. Which Boise State's had an electric season so far.
Boise State is such a good program, and they've got the Heisman Trophy winner running with them. They were in Hawaii yesterday. The kid ran for over 200 yards again.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Ole Miss, and I'm having to backtrack because I thought they really deserved to be one of those teams early on. I thought that everything they did in the quote-unquote offseason of college football, they did everything right. The portal, all of that, recruiting was great.
Yeah.
And I, you know, he's such a – I really love the coach. I played for his dad.
Lane
I was
Kiffin?
Pulling for them. Yep.
Yeah.
But I'll
you
tell you.
You might be the only person that loves Lane Kiffin. Sorry.
You know what? He's a great kid, though.
But
he's got that. He does have that outside where he'll say anything. He does have
that. He just had his 100th game last week, I think, and he lost it. That was when they got upset. It was last week or 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. But I think, unfortunately, they got Murderers Row in front of them. They got to go through a whole gauntlet. I think Ole Miss gets pushed out.
Dave?
Are we saying top 12 teams?
Which one of these the teams I listed off does not make the cut?
Can you list them one more time?
Yeah. Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee, Ole Miss, Clemson, Notre Dame, A&M, Oklahoma, or Boise State? And you can't say Oklahoma.
No, I was going to say Notre Dame, actually.
Yeah. Oh, really?
I think they've been both good and bad, although they crushed Stanford, but it's Stanford.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're the one team that the strength is not there for me, for who they've beaten and who they've lost to. That's just that of all of them, although I could say the same thing about Ole Miss.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, their one loss comes to LSU. You know, I mean, LSU is pretty legit. So,
yeah,
I don't know. I'll go with Notre Dame.
All right, Dave, we'll start with you for this one. After being clobbered three times in London via a sack and now suffering from a sore ankle, sore hamstring, a knee, now with head coach Robert Saleh out of his vision, you have Aaron Rodgers suffering with the Jets. Have the wheels finally come off for these New York Jets, or is there still hope in the Jets faithful getting a playoff spot this season with the halfway point just a couple weeks away?
The wheels have fallen off and the vehicle's on fire. And by the way, the vehicle is a 1970s Pinto. I mean, I've said this. I was watching the game last week with my son, and I sat there saying, like, Aaron Rodgers, you just need to stop. Because he just doesn't – it's not even that he's not the same. He's not the same, and he doesn't have a good cast of characters around him. The team is just – I mean, they're not supporting him. He's getting killed. He's getting crushed on a lot of plays. Mm-hmm. And I just don't think his body's going to hold up. He is not the same after the injury, after his Achilles injury. And so I don't think the Jets are for real, and I think – I hope this is Rodgers' last season because it's just getting hard to watch.
He doesn't look like the Aaron Rodgers that all of us know and remember and all of that. And last year, obviously, he had a couple of plays, and then he was out. So when you look at what we're seeing now, it's not the same guy. And I'll tell you what, I don't like his attitude at all. When you watch those games and you see him sitting on the bench not wanting to communicate with anybody, whether it's a coach or another player or anybody, just puts a towel over his head. I don't know if he's going to make it through the season, quite frankly. And the defense is there, though. The defense is there. They're pretty daggone good. But, you know, the offense is just struggling. And Aaron's not helping him.
Do you buy the theory that he got Robert Saleh fired?
I would say he didn't do anything to help him stay.
Yeah.
Good point.
But, you know, I don't think it's all just on Aaron Rodgers because, you know, he's the defensive coordinator, really, of a team, even though he's the head coach. That's what his background is.
Yeah.
So he's more involved on that side of it. But, you know, he and Aaron Rodgers clearly did not get along really well.
No, who did? Who has gotten along with Aaron Rodgers?
He's a little frumpy.
He is. Go back to a darkness retreat.
And now I have my boss, Bradley, and text me, OU has more than one loss. I don't recall it, but maybe he's correct.
How'd it go yesterday? I'm sorry. No, that was a cheap shot. That was a cheap shot.
You know what? I can disconnect you real quick.
That was a really cheap shot.
Yeah. There's still a better program than the Gophers. I'm just going to say that.
Wait a minute.
Two big names make their debut today. Spencer Rattler and Drake May. Spencer Rattler facing Baker and the Bucks, and they also have Drake May and the Pats. They'll be hosting the Texans. Pete, we'll start with you. Which one are you looking forward to most?
I want to see Drake May, and the reason I say that is we all know what Washington looks like with their new quarterback, right? Jaden Daniels has been absolutely outstanding, and the guy looks like he's been in the NFL. He runs the ball when he needs to, in a really does a great job with that. He's been unbelievable with his percentage passing and all of that. Not a lot of touchdowns, but he's done the right thing. Washington has made the turn. I want to see what Drake May can do, and I think he's going to be the most interesting one to watch because New England's in a shambles right now. They're really struggling, and I think it might be up to Drake May. He could turn things a little bit for him. I don't think he's great, but I do think he's a pretty daggone good quarterback, so I think he's the guy to watch today.
I mean, Drake May's the obvious one. Who are you rooting for?
Spencer Rattler.
So New Orleans plays the Bucks, correct?
Mm-hmm. They lose to the Bucks, yes.
But Spencer Rattler was an OU guy.
That's right.
Yeah, and who did he get replaced at halftime against Texas a few years ago?
I'm just saying.
Caleb Williams, yes.
I want to see Drake May. I do. Yeah. The last time we really got a good look at him, at least in close-up situations, is when he played against Minnesota last year, and I think we both agree we were not super impressed with the way he played. So I would like to see what he does. I think in terms of long-term, he's probably got a little more, but I don't know. I mean, all the articles here, Spencer Rattler, he's fearless, he's ready to go, which kind of scares me a little bit. It should be a good matchup. But I want to see Drake, man. If I'm going to tune in, that's what I'm
going
for.
He's come a long way from the QB1 series that he was featured in because that did not put a good light on his career and his persona. Mm. And there's been a lot of humbling, just like, you know, my guy Baker Mayfield had to come a long ways as far as just having the right people in your corner and getting you ready to be a professional on the NFL level. And Kind of hoping that's kind of where he's at with his career, because I think it was you guys already mentioned, I think fifth round, I think, is when he got taken. And so, like, and he was the – so 2, 3, and 4 didn't have a quarterback selected this year in this year's draft. I think it was Bo Nix, and then you didn't see a quarterback get drafted till Spencer Rattler in the fifth round. So that's kind of the crazy gap that we face this year with quarterbacks and as far as the newcomers. So I'm excited to see kind of where he's at. And, yeah, that's all for Fast Breaks.
You got to have that swagger, though. I mean, like, we love to make fun of Baker and and I guess Spencer Rattler, we poke fun. But, Pete, you have to have that. The attitude of a quarterback, to me, is as essential as the attitude for an NHL goalie, right? Or any sort of really good goalie. At a goalie position, closing pitcher or pitcher position, like, you have to be able to just box it up and get rid of everything else. You have to have amazing ability to compartmentalize your feelings. A quarterback has to be able to have that swagger, right? I mean, you can't take that ball and not think, I can do everything that I need to do right now and be a successful quarterback, right? I mean, you can't have a quarterback that's not 100% confident in his abilities.
They almost have to be cocky, but also confident, right? I mean, it's not just, you can't be just cocky. You got to be confident. You've got to be able to be a leader of the team. Drake May, by the way, was one of the youngest of the quarterbacks who went in the draft this past year, despite the fact that he was the third pick in the draft. So he's a young guy, but, he's got a lot of talent. He's got an opportunity. And do they have enough on the New England team to get him to the next level? And that's going to be something to watch, because they've been struggling on offense for sure.
He reminds me, and the situation reminds me way too much of Mitch Trubisky.
Yes.
And I think that may be where this goes. But I want to see it, right? I want to see it. Let's take a look. All right, we'll take a quick break, come back. Some great texts in to the stylesfinancial.com talking text line about the Gopher win last night, so we'll talk about that coming up next. Stop complaining about the Michigan game. Had it gone to review, Minnesota would have been called for blocking too early and or touching the ball too soon. You sound like Iowa fans.
No.
And their fair catch nonsense.
Hey, by the way, Dave, and I said this at the time, and I know Charlie didn't agree with me, but I'm going to tell you, I watched that play over and over again from Iowa. Mm-hmm. That guy never had his hand above his head. I'm with the Iowa people about that one. He pointed at people, but he didn't raise his arm above his head. And so I totally agree that Iowa got jobbed on that one, just like we got jobbed on this one. And it wasn't about the blocking. That ball, I'll tell you what, it's not that we're going back and saying, well, we should have. I'm not saying that. But that was just a bad call. And they should have, if they were going to do a should have, they should have lifted up that flag that they tossed. Because, like you said, everybody, whether they were going outside of the stadium or not, was looking at that and said, that's a bad call. But they didn't take it back.
Rob and Teresa in Minnetonka saying, along with all the positive listeners, believe in the Gophers, especially football. We stayed up late last night and enjoyed the win.
Mm.
Way to go, Robin, Teresa in Minnetonka.
Yeah.
It is okay to love again. PJ made a great decision to use his timeouts near the end of the game. By doing so, he reserved clock time if he needed it, which later he did. Yeah, I mean, you could say, and throughout these two games, the quarterback play has been the best we've had in years, but maybe the coaching's been the best we've had in years.
Best game day coaching. I agree with you, Dave. I think that's part of the critical thing that we watched in front of us yesterday with UCLA. That was a game that, had they not coached a better game and called the plays in a better way, we would have walked out of there with a loss. And that would have been a bad loss, because UCLA, I'm the first guy out there to say, hey, look, these guys are the bottom of the Big Ten right now. That's just where they find themselves, along with Purdue at the bottom of the Big Ten. Mm-hmm. We're not at the bottom, but you can always lose a game. But I'll tell you, the impressive part for me was how PJ and the offense, what they did as far as play calling and giving themselves the opportunity. And if you don't think Brosmer has matured, watch that final play again where he throws it to Darius, because he is looking to his right. He's looking at center. He goes back to the right, and then he comes back and he gets that ball off to Darius for the touchdown. I think that kid has made strides to get better the last 3 or 4 weeks. He's gotten better and better and better. And you know what? The sky's the limit. And those players, his receivers, they're doing the right thing by him as well, especially when you're talking about Daniel Jackson. I mean, that guy literally, he did everything he could and made Brosmer look even better.
Yeah, Daniel Jackson has been outstanding. To switch gears real briefly, did you catch at least the end of the Lynx Liberty game the other night?
How they came back?
Yeah, I mean, they're down by, Josh, you texted me. What were they down by, 18? With
Yeah, they had a really strong second half, which anybody that's been following this team has knows that that's been a struggle for them throughout the playoffs as far as getting, and Cheryl's hammered on that in the postgame pressers. But it's one of the craziest finishes to basketball that you can see, and it does nothing but help WNBA in the long run as far as getting more eyes on the game.
Yeah.
And
Dave, the ratings are up.
And
massive,
Dave, you had a kind of a slow day. You didn't work much on Thursday, so there was.
But
there was
I
a
did
lot
see
going
the end
on
of that
Thursday
game.
between Thursday Night Football, the wild season opener, and this. Yeah. So there was so many eyes on so many different things that I was watching the start of the Wild game, and then the second half of that night was me pretty much being glued to ESPN for the finish of the last quarter, and then the overtime period for the Lynx. So that was,
it was incredible.
Special. Yeah.
It made me wonder too. We don't have a ton of time here, but I always think, like, when I think of benchmark teams for the Lynx franchise, I think of the 2017 team that won a title with Maya Moore, Sylvia Fowles, Simone Augustus, Rebecca Brunson, Lindsey Whalen, Renee Montgomery, you know, players that were all legit. And now you look at Nafisha Collier, Kayla McBride, Bridget Carleton, Alana Smith, Courtney Williams, and so on and so forth. There is actually, and I thought, well, the 2017 team is better. Listen to this, though. When you look at points per game, Maya Moore averaged 17. Sylvia Fowles averaged 18. Simone Augustus and Rebecca Brunson both averaged 10. Mm-hmm. This year, Nafisha Collier is averaging 20. Kayla McBride is averaging 15. Alana Smith is averaging 10. Courtney Williams is averaging 11. Bridget Carleton just over 9. And I mean, if you think about it too, Pete, we've talked a little bit about this, but the league has gotten so much better in the past 7 years. I legitimately think this 2024 team might be better than the 2017.
I agree with you. And with Collier and McBride and Williams and all the players that you mentioned, I mean, and they're the ones who stepped up. You know, game one, they stepped up. They didn't pout about the fact that they're down by 18 points. Mm-hmm. They came back and they showed us that they're willing to fight for this thing. And it's just impressive to me. I think the Lynx is just – The fact that people are so excited about it and wanting to go to these games, and they're opening up the stadium to be bigger, it just shows you that they are catching something at the right time, and because of a lot of the different reasons, WNBA is getting pretty special.
Do you have $2 billion hanging around in your bank account? Would you like to own the Minnesota Twins? You can, but should you? We'll talk about that next hour. You're listening to Huddle on 830 WCCO.